Welcome to the Stuff and Junk Show. We share our opinions on random subjects from interesting news, social topics, pop culture, our likes and dislikes, things you've seen, heard, or read, what we did, and what we do. You know, stuff and junk. Hello, my name is Albert.
This is Tommy.
This is Randy.
This is Anna. I don't know why I gave Anna that voice, but
they're definitely not here.
They're definitely not here. So yeah, listeners, I know the previous episode was really long, so we'll try to keep this short, especially since it's just me and Javeng. I think you can manage, right, Javeng? We can do that.
I think so. Because this is usually our 5-minute segment, right?
But well, I mean, it's only two of us. It's like 10 minutes now, but whatever. Yeah.
Yeah, but my ideas all need a group participation. So all the stuff I have a group participation. So I'm just gonna ramble on about certain things I saw recently and all that.
Should I go first then? Because I think mine's a little bit more precise, right?
Thanks.
So my thing is, as you guys know, and I mentioned this in the podcast, and I mentioned this on Instagram, got a new car, right? A new blue car. I've always wanted a blue car, and I got my blue car, right? New car. I've had it for 2 months now. Mm-hmm. 2025 rolls over, and guess what happened?
Mama.
I had a curb rash.
Are you serious?
Yeah, curb rash. If you guys are not familiar, curb rash is when you accidentally hit the curb with one of your wheels, and then the rim gets scratched. I'm like, hurts so much.
Is it? Did you screw up the alignment, or is it just a rim job?
Alignment is fine. Alignment is fine. Rim is scratched, and I will need to pay to get it buffed out and whatnot. All right, and then not only that, few days later, happens to the other side. Yeah. I'm like, no.
Yeah. I told you when you first got this car, this is the best time and worst time. The best time is you have a new car smell. The worst time is it's like any kind of scratch or any kind of thing that happens to the car, it just drives you mental and stuff like that.
Yeah.
I remember yours is more serious than what I had, but when I got my Toyota RAV4 or whatever and stuff like that, I had to pick up my nephew and he put the bike in the trunk. It's like 2 months in and it kind of scratched the interior, and then it scratched the bumper a little bit when I was putting the bump in. I obsessed over those kind of dents and imperfections for like months. It just drove me mad. I Googled, I emailed to people to see how much it cost. Wait, like $600, $800 to buff it out and all this. I was like, oh. So I just thought about it. Debated, should I pay for it? I want it perfect, blah, blah, blah. Thankfully, after maybe a couple months, I got over it. You know what I mean? It just sort of went away. Now, 2.5-3 years in, I don't care that much. You know, it's not me anymore. But it takes a long time for you to get to that point. You know what I mean?
Yeah, I mean, I suppose so. I mean, I haven't rushed to get it buffed out yet, but I think I will eventually. Because I think it's because it's the rear tires. I think it's, maybe it's more easier for me to ignore. I don't know, but. But,
did you check? Can you do it for 2-for-1? I got two. I need two. Go to them. I want you to say these exact words. I need two rim jobs. Can you do it for the price of one rim job?
Yeah. I mean, obviously, I'm the driver, so I have to take that kind of blame for not. Mm-hmm. I know it's a new car; it's not quite the same.
And
I
think I'm not gonna blame the curb. what else are you gonna blame? By the way, I want you to title this podcast "Two Rim Jobs." Please, can you do that?
Okay, the title of the episode is Two Rim Jobs.
Two rim jobs for one. How about that?
No, this is nice. Two rim jobs. Anyways, so I've come to the conclusion the reason why this is happening is because even though it's the same car that I had previously, except a newer model, the way that the positioning is, like where the tires are compared to my previous car and where I'm sitting compared to my previous car, my theory is that I'm actually a little bit back compared to my previous car. So when I turn, I'm turning like I'm in my previous car. Yeah. And I have to be turning like I'm in my current car.
Yeah.
So
it's,
I gotta,
it's not your fault. It's not your fault. It's the car's fault.
Well, no, it's not the car's fault. I'm still the driver, right? So I have to take some of the blame. Yeah. So, but the thing is though is that my car is not exactly the same.
I'm sorry, Dad. Is some kids like take a joyride in your car? Like, are we gonna blame those kids? Like, what's happening here?
Yeah, so I think that's
why I just try to play curves.
So now I'm paranoid. Every time I make a turn on a curve, left or right, I'm paranoid because I'm like, am I far enough away? He's like,
yeah.
I was actually considering like buying a parking cone, just to practice, you know, kind of thing. Like go to a parking lot and just practice. Like, okay, can I go past this cone without hitting it, kind of thing. So Because in my previous car, man, I can get as close as possible to the curb. No problem. Yeah. I was a pro in that car. Yeah. I knew exactly where my car is in comparison to everything around it, right? I can like cut corners really easy, go in between cars if I have to, really easy. Mm-hmm. You know, it's like I got that car down pat, like the, you know, the back of my hand. I think I know the car more than the back of my hand at that point. But this car, I gotta relearn how to drive a car in a sense. Yeah. So it's like, yeah.
Again, it's a car's fault. But this is a bit of a tangent. But so, you know, both of our cars are sort of like kind of solid middle class cars, right? This is why I don't understand how people can drive like real luxury cars, like a Lamborghini or a Ferrari.
Yeah,
it would just drive me mental to drive anything that expensive. You know what I mean? I would be so paranoid, so full of anxiety and fear of just the tiniest scratch, the tiniest little, you know, curb, you know, turning. I was like, I don't get it, man. I just don't understand.
I agree. Like I've always said, like if I won the lotto, I'm not gonna buy a luxury car.
Yeah, not a good car.
I don't need to. Like just give me a good car that I like. You know, it's like I don't need that. Like I always said that I'm just gonna live the life the way I'm currently living, except I don't have to worry about money. That's all.
But more strippers.
I don't know about that. You mean real dolls? AI real dolls.
but seriously, sir. This is a real doll, right? Right?
But the other thing about my car that I gotta mention, like, once again, it's blue, right? One of the blue cars.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. When I bought the car, I was driving my friend's son to his school with the whole thing. And he asked me, so why'd you get a blue car? And my answer was, have you noticed everybody gets either a white car, a silver car, or a black car? Mm-hmm. Would you agree with that?
Based on resale value, but yes, I agree.
Right, so black, white, and silver or gray, you know, and when I was driving him to school, I was like, see that black car, white car, mm-hmm. black car, white car, mm-hmm. oh, white silver car, black car, you know, I was pointing it out, and then I go, oh, blue car, you know, oh, red car, you know, kind of thing. So blue and red, not as common, but black, white, and silver, top most common car colors you see. Mm-hmm. I'm seeing more blue cars. I don't know what happened since I bought my blue car. But I'm seeing so many blue cars now.
So what are you trying to impart onto this kid is this poor innocent child is like, hey, I'm a trendsetter. I'm cool.
I haven't told him this. I haven't told him this, but I've noticed it, right? Because now that I'm like, I have the blue car, you know. Yeah. But now I'm noticing so many. How about you? Have you seen someone somehow, if you paid attention or noticed, have you seen more blue cars on the road?
Are you talking to a listener or me?
You.
No, not at all. I have not noticed.
So it must be just me. Because I have a blue car, I'm more conscious to see other blue cars on the road. But I feel like there are more blue cars on the road.
You do see the blue cars, do you give them the finger gun? Like,
No.
You get it. I get it. Come on, man. We cool. No.
And the funny thing is that like when I go to work, I park almost exactly at the same parking spot every single time. Except when somebody steals it from me. "Quote unquote steal," and my coworker who parks next to me, he always driven a blue car. It's not that I never noticed that his car is blue, but he's always driven a blue car and he always parks next to me. And now that I have a blue car and he's a blue car, we're like blue and blue, right? And I somehow I'm like, huh, maybe there really are more blue cars than I thought. But you're saying that no, it's still pretty much black, white, and silver, which is probably statistically true, right? But I'm noticing so many blue cars to the point, when I go to a place like with my wife or my sister-in-law, and we're walking back to the parking lot, there's been multiple times where they'll end up in another blue car.
Yeah.
Like they'll go, and then I'll be like, "Not that blue car, over there."
Yeah. So, number one, this is more blue car discussion I thought we had today, but that's the point. Number two, three times in my life, I've actually either opened the door to the wrong car because I thought it looked so similar to ours, or actually gotten in.
Oh, you actually got it in?
Yeah. This one time, because I had this is me bragging. This is a humble brag. I had like a black BMW and stuff like that. It's also a very common car for rich people and stuff like that. I actually got into another Beamer and stuff. I sat in, and then on the dashboard, it was unlocked for some reason. Anyway. On the dashboard, I noticed, hey, there's these little toys and little trinkets and stuff like that. I'm not a little Japanese girl. I don't have these like little trinkets and little toys. Oh, this is not my car. Yeah, I got it. And the other time, it happened recently where my nephew and I were kind of going to the parking lot. You know, we bought groceries and stuff. And then we opened the door, and there was a Japanese guy in the car. He's on the phone. He screamed. I was like, oh shit! I'm sorry. Because I have a, like I mentioned, I have a Toyota RAV4. It's a very common silver car. Like the color you would hate, a silver like RAV4.
Wait. I don't hate silver. My previous car was a silver car.
My understanding is you hate black, white, and
silver.
I think you call them basic bitches.
No.
Vanilla. I think you were exactly.
Although I will say this, my current Accord model, and I look and see the people who chose the gray or the silver one. I'll be saying like in my head, I chose the correct color. but no, my previous car was silver. I love it being silver. Although I was planning to get blue before. But point is that no, I like silver cars. So yeah. Screw you. Mm-hmm. But you're saying you have a silver RAV4? Okay, I'll make sure to write that down.
Stalker mentality.
But anyways, so that's my 10 minutes. Go ahead, Javi.
Oh, Jesus Christ! How do I follow that off? That riveting conversation about the color blue and stuff like that.
And
I was just gonna mention a couple of things because what do you call it? We had a show last week, but you know we've been off like 2 weeks. I'm just gonna mention more things that I've seen, not necessarily recommendations, but kind of like reviews. I did see Baby Girl over the the holidays.
I saw it too, but go on.
I know. My whole thing with Baby Girl is like, come on, man. It's a class thing. It's not real a female empowerment or female sex positive thing. People have seen the trailer. I'm not gonna spoil it too much, but it's, you know, Nicole Kidman's character is like the 1% of the 1%. You know what I mean? It's like you can't get me to care about her. I'm sorry. You know what I mean? I'm sure female, like, you know, sexual awakening, all that stuff is very important. But I was watching, I was like, you know, what's happening? What am I watching this for? And so, like, you know, again, this isn't a trailer, it's not a spoiler, but she's having an affair with a much younger man. Mm-hmm. My whole thing is like, hey, if she gets caught, what happens? She loses her penthouse, that's it. She still has a mansion in upper New York. It's like the stakes are very low. That's my problem with it. You know what I mean? Thumbs down. I mean, Nicole Kidman is really great, and I have a theory about the film itself, about how it's edited, how it's shot and stuff like that. But for the most part, thumbs down, Baby Girl.
That was also kind of what my feeling. When I left the movie, I'm like, what was the point of me watching that?
Yeah.
You know, it's like,
and also, oh, sorry, go ahead.
Like you, I was like, I didn't really feel anything for our main protagonist, which is Nicole Kidman, because she's a freaking adulteress. You know, it's like,
yeah,
and I get it. Maybe there's some kind of like appeal to this kind of like scandalous kind of movie kind of thing, but it didn't appeal to me at all. You know, and I can admire the direction of the movie. I can admire some of the character choices with the supporting cast, but it was kind of dragging to me because I didn't care what happened to our main characters, and I think I couldn't give the movie a fair shake because of that.
Yeah, two more things I want to mention real quick. Number one, the director, she said she based some of this stuff on her real life experience. Specifically, like she had like a theater director, but she had like an understudy who she didn't have like an affair with, but they had this sort of dynamic where he was trying to come on to her and stuff like that. To me, if you make that movie, I'd be more invested. You know what I mean? A theater director, to me, it's more relatable. You know what I mean? Like I said, she's the 1% of the 1%. You know what I mean? Like what do I care if she gets caught or not? It's ridiculous. Now, number two, I forgot to mention, her whole family dynamic was really weird, really weird. She had two daughters, right? The younger daughter was just always happy, perpetually happy and stuff like that. And the second daughter was like too cool for school. She could kind of do whatever she wanted. She talked shit about her mom right to her face without getting slapped, which I thought was ridiculous. And these two daughters, even though they're what generation they are? I forgot.
Gen Z.
They're Gen Z and all, they don't spend any time online. They actually spend a lot of time with their family and stuff. Like, you know what I mean? They're out hiking. They're out doing stuff together. It's just weird. That's a weird presentation of their family. So,
At the same time, Jamin, they're also filthy rich, right?
Yeah.
Which is another thing that I can't really relate with.
Yeah.
So I don't know if this is what filthy rich families are.
Did you see that right now?
They have freaking two houses. I mean, come on. In New York.
I know. Jesus, that penthouse and that like I said, she loses either the penthouse or the mansion. Oh, boo hoo hoo. Anyway, thumbs down for
I think the reason why it wasn't a theater director, because I think she must have thought that people will be more interested with a female CEO being put in her place kind of situation, which is weird for me to say because she's a female director and writer. And like, why would you put your character in that position?
I don't know. Just make it a little bit more real. You know what I mean? Just make it just there's not enough stakes. You know, like I said, because like I said, I can't relate to the person. Some of that. I don't know.
I mean, the only stake really is, well, once again, it wasn't a spoiler because it's in the trailer. She's an adulteress. The only real stake is that will she get divorced with her husband, or what will happen with her husband? You know, so that's the only thing that was really in stake. You know.
Yeah, I think she'll be fine if she gets divorced. That's fine. The other thing I just saw a couple of nights ago, I saw the Pamela Anderson movie, The Last Showgirl The Last Showgirl. I saw that. It's directed by a Coppola. She's done a couple of films, but she's from the Coppola family, right? So she, you know, she's a granddaughter, I think, of Francis Ford Coppola. And it's one of those movies where you can tell she grew up not watching like Michael Bay movies and stuff. You know what I mean? So she saw a lot of artsy-fartsy European movie, and it shows. And it's a really good movie. I mean, the thing was I locked in? Was I completely invested? Nah, probably not. But the last 30 minutes, the ideas, some of the themes, some of the stuff that she goes for, it's admirable. So I would give Showgirls thumbs up, but mostly
Showgirls?
The Last Showgirl. I'm sorry. The Last Showgirl.
I was gonna say, this isn't the sequel to Showgirls?
I wish. But I would recommend this movie, but specifically for like the Letterboxd crowd, like the artsy fartsy moviegoers and stuff like that. You know what I mean? So yes. I just started watching Skeleton Crew, the Star Wars TV show. Okay. I just saw the first episode. Fantastic. I just had the biggest smile on my face when I watched the first episode. It's wonderful.
Okay. Like you know what I mean? Okay. First, you said first episode. I wasn't a huge fan of the first episode. Suburbia Star Wars kind of threw me off. I was like, why are there suburbs in Star Wars? Right. Yeah. But second episode won me over completely, and then I ended up binging all the way till the most current episode. And in fact, as of this recording, last episode is available on Disney Plus, and I'm sure me and Jamie are going to watch it right after recording.
Oh, wait, they released it already? Because I thought it was coming out tomorrow.
It's a Monday show, isn't it?
It's a Tuesday show. No, it's a Tuesday. Tuesday at 6.
Okay.
Tuesday at 6. Yeah. So I'm trying to watch one episode a day, so I'm only on episode one, but I thought it was magical.
Oh.
I just saw the first one.
Dude, if you like episode one, wait till you get to the second episode.
It's just magical. The thing that struck about me is actually a weakness. You said, not a weakness, but that's something that you point out. It's an Amblin Steven Spielberg show set in the Star Wars universe. And unlike people might think, oh, this is a nostalgia thing, blah, blah, blah. But it's really not, because those two things, Star Wars late 70s, Spielberg late 70s, those are two things that ran concurrently. You know what I mean? So to see this Amblin thing through the prism of Star Wars, I thought it was wonderful. I thought the kids were great. Their motivations were well-defined. The special effects were great. And so thumbs up for Skeleton Crew. After the only one episode, I'm going to watch a few more after this podcast. But yeah. And also, I mentioned last week, I've been watching My Hero Academia. Mm. It's on Hulu Plus. It's also on
Crunchyroll.
Yeah. Wonderful, wonderful stuff. Really, really, really good. I really got into it. I watched like 5 seasons, 3 movies within like 3 weeks. So good times.
Let's see you do that with One Piece.
I'm not gonna, dude. I was telling my nephew because he's basically caught up. He did 1,000 episodes like in 1 year, and he wants me to do that. I said nope, nope.
I actually know some people who are also doing the One Piece grind, and a lot of people. I think the Netflix show really pushed a lot of people to do it, and I was that close actually to do it. Until Netflix announced that they were going to do their own animated One Piece. And I'm like, I might as well just start with the Netflix one.
Yes. For people who don't know, they're going to just like, Rama is to a lesser extent, because Rama is only like 7 seasons. One Piece.
Rama was like 30 years ago or whatever.
Yeah. But what they're doing is they're going to go back and redo the first, start from the beginning and reanimate it or retell the One Piece story, but condense new animation studio. I think it's WIT. WIT, right?
Yeah.
I was telling my nephew, that's for me. That target demographic is me. The person that's not going to go back and watch 1,000 episodes of One Piece, but watch a remake, quote unquote, remake and stuff. So I'm saving myself for that.
Yes. A more refined version. I would like to believe so too.
Yeah. Let me see here. And do you think that's enough?
I mean, you're almost hitting your 10 minute mark, but yeah.
That's fine. What else? What else have I seen? Let me see.
Are you currently watching Solo Leveling? You already, it's on the only two episodes so far.
Yes, and I saw those two episodes in the theater. But right. I only have 11 more episodes, so I'll save it and binge watch it.
How many? They're only doing 13?
I think they're only doing 13, yeah.
Have you read the manhwa?
No, I don't read. Come on.
So I started reading the manhwa, actually.
Oh, nice. The manhwa is actually finished too, right?
Is it?
So
I think I'm over halfway through the manhwa already. At least mm-hmm. what's currently available. Unless it's the whole series already.
No, wait, hold on. Let me think about this. If I remember correctly, there's the web series. The web series based on online novels, right?
Oh, yes. So there's a short novel of this, and I'm reading the manga of it.
Right. So I think one of those is finished. So yeah.
Probably the novel series. I think the novel series is finished, and then they just got to finish the comic book version.
I think. And how? I mean, did you watch the first two episodes?
Yes, I have.
One second. How far are the manga from the first two episodes? Are they pretty far along?
Oh, very far. I'm actually, well, no, I'm not going to spoil it.
Yeah, but the world's...
I was to say where I am right now, I will either be on the fourth or fifth season of the series. Oh, depending on how they compress it down. Because mm-hmm. even with like Demon Slayer, like when I was watching Demon Slayer and I read the comic book, I was like, I think this is going to be like a seven season series. But they're mm-hmm. but it's only really four seasons plus three movies.
Yeah.
So I'm like, okay, well, that's the case then. I don't exactly know where I am in the manhwa compared to the TV show. I could probably be in the third season for all I know.
Mm-hmm.
So, but the progress has been moved. The only reason why I brought Solo Leveling is because
it's awesome.
It is awesome, right? It's awesome. Like it feeds on a different take on what do you call that?
I don't want to mention it.
Isekai, isekai. It's a different take on isekai, which is like alternate universe thing, and it's a different take on the fighting genre of anime. And by fighting genre, I mean like Dragon Ball Z. And mm-hmm. the reason why,
you sprinkle in the whole gaming reality that we kind of live in 2025.
Oh, but then, that's the isekai thing. That's the isekai thing.
Yeah.
Right. So the thing is though is that. The more I read the series, I don't mean this too much like a pejorative in the way I kind of am. Sung Jin-Woo, which is the main character of the series who is leveling mm-hmm. up, mm-hmm. is freaking pretty much Son Goku from Dragon Ball Z.
Yeah.
Okay? Now, if you watch Dragon Ball Z, and I know you did, and some listeners, I know you did, mm-hmm. by saying Sung Jin-Woo is Son Goku, then you have to know what I mean. Because in Dragon Ball Z, what's the usual plot line of Dragon Ball Z, Jiaming? Do you remember how it goes?
Oh, he usually gets delayed. I mean, he usually gets taken off the board. He's too strong. He's too powerful.
Right? Go on. Keep going. And then
what else? So side players have to step in. He mm-hmm. almost gets killed.
Then he
levels up and stuff like that.
Yeah.
And then he almost gets. Yeah, he actually does get killed a lot. And then he gets brought back. He gets killed back. Mm-hmm. Oh, does he become a terrible father in the?
Well, I mean, he doesn't have a father.
Oh, too bad.
You know, but I mean, not completely like that. But yeah, it's bad guy shows up, the sub characters step in because mm-hmm. you know we can handle it.
Yeah.
And then later on, he shows up and he finishes the job. Yeah. Right. And that's pretty much Dragon Ball Z. Mm-hmm. Except the difference here is that Dragon Ball Z it takes 100 episodes to do a fight. Well, this one takes only like two. So yeah. I'll give it that. Like it's much faster in this rate. But when I was reading the manhwa, I was kind of getting tired. I'm like, oh God, here we go again.
Yeah.
You know, it's like we're doing this plot line again, you know, and I kind of wish it didn't go that direction. And I'm hoping it changed things up a little bit. And it looks like mm-hmm. they are kind of, but yeah, he's pretty much Son Goku. And I know power fantasy is a thing for a lot of anime fans, manga fans. But my God, I'm kind of tired of power fantasy in this storytelling.
This is why I don't read, man. Just watch the anime.
It's the same thing with the anime. It will be. Like, I think after, by the end of season, by season three, I mean, my estimate, or by the end of season two. No, by season three. By season three of levels, solo leveling, it's gonna feel like that, I think. But it's still entertaining. I'll give it that. It's still entertaining. I'm still reading it. I'm still entertained. I just thought it was gonna be more than what it
My advice is, like, I've mentioned this before, like, if you feel like, for anime, the best way to watch anime really is to just save it. Just, cause it's not gonna, for the most part, not gonna be spoiled on social media. It hasn't gained that much popularity, but just watch it as a binge and stuff like that. You know what I mean? Just watch 5-6 episodes at a time. That's the best way. Oh, otherwise it can feel drag. Cause the thing is, the Japanese, they're not known for the editing when they do any adaptations.
I'm telling you right now, the pacing in the comic books is really fast, just like the anime. Yeah. I'm not complaining about the pacing.
Are you talking about actual plot mechanics?
I'm talking about the actual plot mechanic of him being Son Goku. Yeah. You know, because, like, how often, it's just, like, not to spoil it, but there is a plot line, like in Dragon Ball Z, like if only Goku was here, this wouldn't have happened. And sure enough, it happens in this show, in this story also. And I'm like, you could have avoided that. You could have avoided that, but nope, you have to go there. Blah, blah, blah. Anyways, still enjoying Solo Leveling. I still recommend checking out the anime, especially the anime. As far as the manga was concerned, I mean, if you like that kind of stuff, go read. For it.
I said, don't read. Anything of that? I say, don't read.
Yeah, okay. You want to add anything else, or can we move on?
I did see Den of Thieves for the first time because I knew the sequel was coming out. I enjoyed it. Some of it's kind of silly and stuff. But
you haven't seen the second one.
I saw the second one. No, because I knew the second one was coming out.
Oh, so you saw the first one.
Yeah, the first one, it just went past me. I didn't catch it.
And did you watch the second one?
Yeah, I watched the second one, of course.
So the first one is better.
Yes. You agree with that, right? I can confirm that, yes.
First one is better. Second one's not bad, but it's not as good as the first one.
It's a slow burn.
Yeah. I like the first one, too. I didn't love it, but I did like it. Right. And the second one, I liked what it did, but it's not as good as the first one.
Yeah.
You know, and the one thing that bothered me was the fact that it's Den of Thieves 2 Pantera. Because I'm like, Pantera? You know, da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da.
Too close to Pantera, bro. I keep thinking it was
Pantera. Really? For me, I was thinking like the heavy metal band Pantera, but yeah.
Yeah. Den of Thieves, the first one is on HBO Max. Obviously, Pantera. Pantera. Pantera Bread is in the theaters right now. They both. I mean, I think the first one's better, but the second one is not that much.
Yeah,
and stuff like that. They both run out. They both cruise in at a B range. You know what I mean? I do admire the first one for doing stuff. You know what I mean? They really do stuff out there, and they kind of, like, as you watch the movie, you think, oh, this is a plot hole. But at the end, they got me at the end. You got me. You know what I mean? Tie it all together. All right, you got me.
Yeah.
The second one's more of a slow burn. They're trying new things, but especially the first one, you get like a nice big cast of, like, colorful characters besides the main characters.
Yeah.
The second one doesn't have that charm.
You know what I mean? Well, there is that one character who isn't in the second one. That is very much like they're missing that kind of character
I was, it's one of those scenes where, like, when I was watching Den of Thieves, I thought, I've never seen this guy before and stuff. I thought this guy's brand new. I go on his Wikipedia page. He's like a working actor for like 100 years. I must have seen some of this stuff, but yeah. But I know who you're talking about. He's fantastic.
Yeah. All right. In that case, thanks for listening.
That's all we got.
You can find this podcast on Instagram, Blue Sky Trends, and YouTube at Stuff Junk Show. You can find me, Albert, on Instagram, Blue Sky Trends, and Letterboxd at Albert5x5.
You can find me on social media, JIAMINGLOU.
Music has been provided by Gloomy June. Updates, contact info, ways to support us, and everything else is on the show notes found at whowhatwhereswhy.com. Before we go, let's give our 8 listeners some recommendations for this week. Jamie.
Hey, man, just remember, if you see bullshit in the world, just remember to email your state and federal representatives, as that's their job. And this year, I've bookmarked my House rep, my 2 senators, and the governor of California, Gavin Newsom, and stuff like that. You know what I mean? Earlier this year, the ongoing genocide in, in Gaza. I've emailed my federal reps. This fire stuff, I also emailed the governor, along with the other representatives I've mentioned. Like I said, if you see bullshit in the world, feel free to just what do you call it? Contact your reps. And stuff like that. That's their job. You know what I mean? Somebody mentioned this online. You know how during every election cycle, they always text you asking for donations and stuff. They're on your ass 24/7. You know what I mean? You should feel, you should have that same energy towards, your reps. You know what I mean? So yeah, go ahead and email them. You see bullshit, call it out. Okay.
Oh yeah. Speaking of representative, remember how, like, in the previous administration, the one where Trump was in, the representative for my district was a Republican, right? The border was, I was at that border where, like, yeah. I had that person as my representative.
Uh-huh. Yeah.
Right. And then when they switched things around, mm-hmm. I finally had a good one instead of that person.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
And then now I hear that person went to Florida while the fires are going. Because she,
are you serious?
Yeah, she did. Right, like what so. She moved to a different district so she can actually win because she was gonna lose the current one, and mm-hmm. and she's one of those Republican representatives that left California during the wildfire to see Trump. You know.
So, oh, okay. You can cut this part out, but I thought we don't have the same rep.
No, we had the same rep now.
Now, right? Yeah. We have Sanchez now, right?
Yeah.
Okay,
but the previous time it was a young
kid. Asian woman.
Yeah, that Asian woman. Yeah.
Oh God, this is another podcast and something. But it drives me mental that this last election cycle a lot, but Asians are kind of more right leaning now and stuff like that. It just drives me nuts. It's just a betrayal.
But we shouldn't be surprised. Asians have always been conservative in general. Yeah, you know, I mean, if you go by the majority. Yeah, but a lot of
I honestly
we are in the very affluent section of Asia, and they're mostly conservative. Yeah. So,
but I hate them all.
Yeah, but she when I had her representative, the only good thing she did mm-hmm. was she was able to help me with my COVID relief situation, where
mm-hmm.
yeah. Not the COVID relief, the unemployment situation kind of thing.
Yeah,
and that was only because. Heck, she's required to, right?
Yeah.
So that was the only thing I'll give her credit for. But everything else, she was pretty much just like I'm going to vote against everything just because it's not a Republican thing, and that was just useful at all.
I forgot her name, but I know who you're talking about because I did over the Trump years. I did look at her voting record and stuff like that. You know what I mean? It's pretty by the pretty a lot. I mean, there are actual breakdowns of how she aligned with the White House at the time. And she was actually a little more centered than anybody else, but still, a lot of it was still like, what do you call it? Trump leaning and all that stuff. I know. It bothered me a lot too.
Yeah. Yeah. And yeah, she left California during the wildfires and because, you know, Ted Cruz strategy, essentially. So,
yeah.
And my recommendation. Will once again have to be do with the fires here. There's a link here, title from today.com. TikTok creators share evacuation halls amid LA wildfires. What experts say to bring in an emergency. I figured I have to go look at this list because I think it's important for me to look at this list. And my recommendation is also look at this list, especially if you live here in fire country, to take a look and see what you should have when mm-hmm. if you need to evacuate and all that stuff. That is my recommendation. It's like some stuff here says here 3 days supply of non-perishable food and 3 gallons.
My real doll?
Was that? What?
My real doll?
My
real doll? The sex doll. Is that essential? Journalist?
No. I'll segue to a funny story here. So I'm listening to another podcast, right?
About your sex doll?
Right. No, I'm listening to another podcast and they're talking about how they had to evacuate, right? And mm-hmm. and he had a teenage son, right? And the teenage son is like, hey, so he's like, hey, we gotta evacuate, man. So take all the important stuff you can get and we can get out of here. And he's like, how about my PS5? Like, no, you don't have to bring your PS5. You know, you don't have to bring a TV. Yeah. You know, and it's like, if the house burns down, I'll buy you a new one, but we gotta go kind of thing. Yeah. Right. And like, you know, as if you remember back as a teenager, if this happened to me, that is what I will be ticking off.
Yeah.
Right? Because, you know, you're a teenager. You're a boy. You know, it's like, you only think about your toys and stuff. You don't really think about important things. So, yeah. But yeah.
I read online, what's that tennis player's name? Naomi Osaka?
Uh-huh.
She's on tour right now with her baby and stuff. But she's on a tennis tour. And then her fire, it wasn't really that close, but she was in that fire zone, and she had actually her assistant go down. And the only thing that she really wanted was just her baby's birth certificate. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Those are the things you can't replace with that. So, and I've seen those images online where firefighters are taking, helping take out like pictures and stuff like that. Those are things you really can't replace. You know what I mean? So,
yeah. So, well, like I say, there is a list that you can do. It's, I put in the show notes. Take a look at that. It's important stuff that you need to bring. I will want to do an ad here, another ad to the segue here. You're saying photos. I see a lot of report about how one of the things that they wanted to take were family photos or whatever, which is fine. I get that. But don't we live in the digital age? Don't they have that digitally already?
Somewhere? We're talking about pictures from your grandparents and stuff like that. You know what I mean?
Okay. I mean, if that is specifically what they're referring to, I completely agree. You know, I do still have some printed photos from the 90s that are sitting in the, from the 90s and the 80s that are sitting in a box somewhere. But yeah, I mean, that's what they're referring to. Yeah. Fine. But I'm hearing reports from like millennials, right? And I figured millennials probably mostly have digital stuff, but.
Yeah. I'm looking in my room. There's nothing I would actually be. I don't have that much stuff. I don't think I would just be. I would, because most of my nephew's picture that, you know, school picture that he's taken over here, they're on the fridge. I think I would grab those stuff first. You know what I mean? Right.
So, yeah. I mean, for me, I have a lot of stuff in my house that I would love to bring. Like, I would be devastated if, you know, I have a collection somewhere here, and it's one of those things where I really wish. Yeah, I don't want to think about it, but there's a list. Take a look at that, and that's my recommendation. All right, here we go, folks.
We did it again.
This was episode 836 of the Stuff in Junk Show. Thanks for joining me and Jiaoming, not Anna and Yuki. Until next time, this podcast has been with the worst.
I'm sure they'll be back next week.
Oh, will they? I'm sure they will. Yeah. I mean, Anna was at Anime LA, so I don't blame her if she's tired.
Yeah.
And Ruthie has personal stuff that she has to take care of. Yeah. And I don't blame her for dropping out. So, like I said, I this isn't an authoritarian podcast. You know, you're not forced to be on the show. But yeah, like I mentioned in the previous episode, the after credits also is people have said there's a different vibe when it's just the two of us, and it's a different vibe when they're on the show too. So I hope this was entertaining anyway for those people who would love to have the female perspective of the show. But into our credit here, we actually have female perspective of the show. I know a lot of podcasts out there is mostly just males. And hey, at least we have some that are not just males. So there. Yeah. Okay. And scene? Jiaoming, you still there?
Oh. Yeah.
Oh, did you put yourself on mute?
In the restroom. Too much blah, blah, blah.
Okay. All right. That's enough of the blah, blah, blah. All right, then. Have a good night.
We did it again.